What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Something new under sun. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of A Serious Disc Agreement, the only podcast on the Australian interwebs interested in discs first and everything else second. It may be the apocalypse, but we are hoarding physical media. I am one half of the show, Mr. Blake Howard. Thank you for listening. The other half of the show, the better half of the show, is the incredible Alexi Toliopoulos. Alexi, welcome back to another chat about discs, baby.
I always feel welcome in these chats about physical media with you, Blake, and it is a pleasure to be here as you can see me rummaging away in my little Blu-ray studios, packing them all away. The walls are bare, the shelves are empty. It feels freaking strange.
Feels really strange and kind of like sad, but exciting to see what the new Blu-ray Studios is going to look like in the future. And just now, speaking of bare shelves, let's get gratuitous as possible with a special little Ozploitation, quick debrief of an Ozploitation classic, Nightmares, aka Stage Fright, directed by Mr. John D. Lamont.
Closely now, but don't dare look behind you. Just feel the skin crawl on the back of your neck. Something is lurking in the theater, and all the doors are barred, so there is no way out. Look down. Years ago, this lovely young woman had a nightmarish experience. Today, she's a grown woman, and her nightmares are still happening. But now, they're all coming true. Bioscope presents Jenny Newman, Gary Sweet, Nina Landis, in a new story of terror featuring Max Phipps and John Michael Housen, Nightmares.
From our friends at Umbrella, man, this is as pure a schlocky Australian Ozploitation classic as you could hope for, with Aussie celebrities, comedians, absolute gratuity in the combing of pubic hair with fingers and the stabbing of voluptuous breasts. Alexi, talk to me about, had you ever seen this film?
Not only had I never seen this before, but as someone who loves Australian exploitation cinema, in particular, I love the horror genre, and as a whole, I adore slashers. They're like comfort movie for me, is to watch slashers. When we went into lockdown, I started watching the Friday the 13th movies in the last few weeks. That's how much I love slasher films and how much like I enjoy them and luxuriate in them. I had never even freaking heard of Nightmares before.
Same. I'm completely at a loss. This disc absolutely helps because you've got the great Mark Hartley, who's behind the Australian film Not Quite Hollywood. There's some extended interviews that happen with John D. Lamont that Mark Hartley allows to be on this disc that he did originally in the documentary.
And that is kind of what is custom on these Ozploitation classics range from Umbrella Entertainment these days. We do get on each of them pretty much extended interviews from that documentary, which is like the greatest treat ever because it's from one of the best documentaries ever made in Australia.
It's that old question that sometimes happens in the movie podcast. Would you have made this into a movie or a series? And it feels like Not Quite Hollywood is one of those rare examples where I'm like, I could watch a 10-episode Netflix series that was Not Quite Hollywood because there is so much to go through, and it's almost like era by era, moment by moment. And like, look, if Mark Hartley's listening, go nuts. Like, if Netflix Oz is listening, go nuts. Like, do it. Because clearly with the Tarantino stuff on Stone, with this from John D. LeMond, now on Nightmares, both on Umbrella releases for Ozploitation Classics, I just think that you could totally mine the living daylights out of it. But I think what's so funny about this movie is there was a special time in Australia that I wanted to talk to you about, and I think this is what my main appeal of talking to you about it, Alexi, is that like a time in Australian film financing that David Stratton writes extensively about in his book, The Avocado Plantation, around there was so much money to be made in film financing. There were so many tax incentives for people to finance films. You just had very short turnaround times of like getting an investment and making a film. And this is such an expression of urgent film finance and then like going straight into something like a slasher film like this. I'd love to hear what if you could help me unpack and explain to people listening like how important that is if they're not au fait with that whole concept, and particularly why this movie as a slasher is just like such a perfect expression of that. Like, we've got to turn this around. Okay, kill some naked ladies. Let's make things up on the fly. Let's get actors to contribute to what the script is, and let's just go. Like, let's do this as quickly as humanly possible.
Well, I think you've like really hit on the head because it is so beautifully put in Stratton's words in that book, but also in the documentary we're just talking about, Not Quite Hollywood, the Mark Hartley film about the Australian exploitation era of filmmaking. Because in this time period in Australia, we've got that kind of, we're on that cusp where we are moving from like the glory of the Australian New Wave movement, which just like absolutely accelerates the Australian filmmaking output by an infinite amount, an uncalculable amount, from almost nothing to, in 1972, Wake in Fright, and then multiple classics coming out a year. Like films that still stand the test of time, important filmmakers like Gillian Armstrong and Peter Weir and Fred Skepsi coming out and like developing what the Australian language and cinema really is. And then because of this boom, there is like this offset that happens, which is like tax incentives to like keep making films. So then you get like all these like grubby producers, if you will. I'm using that term lovingly. But, you know, opportunistic producers that are like, we can make money on this. We can get there and make a movie. And I think that also around this point, we start seeing that shift with Ozploitation where real creatives are born from it. And yes. But there is that like push to just make movies, to make content, to push stuff out there. And I think Nightmares is a really good example of something that is like that latter example of having something going, let's just freaking make it. And like, it's totally on the counterbalance of something like Stone, where it's like, oh man, something really high art quality was going into this. This is like the schlockiest schlocky slasher that you can imagine, where the plot is incomprehensible at points. You always kind of know who the villain is, but they try to throw you off course. You're like, well, I mean, I'm certain it's this character. And it really is, I think it even says it on the back of the box, but also in like the interviews that are on the disc, that it is like an unabashed Halloween clone coming right out hot on the heels of that John Carpenter classic, the film that broke the slasher genre and started it all.
Yeah, it's what's funny is I find in the post Halloween era, like I call them genre breakers or genre busters, where they come through and they kind of break a genre for a while because they synthesize so much of the feeling of what is happening in the genre, and they just express it and then it's done. And John Carpenter is a guy who, in my mind with Halloween, completely does that, because it's not just, excuse me, it's not just actually showing a slasher and having a cool villain, what it does is it plays into the psychology of different suburban communities being these like havens of peace, but they're really just these constructions that are completely artificial. So they kind of cover up and guise a lot of the problems with, like, you know, pretty white picket fences and hedges. And they also speaks to the fact that America at the time, God, my voice is like fucking annoying today, Alex.
Me too.
It also speaks to something about America at the time of this like major concern that mental health and people affected with mental health problems were completely being abandoned by different regimes of politics. And so what you had is this rise in the awareness of mental health misuse, this rise in the phenomena of suburbia coming out. And then you get like Halloween and it kind of plagues different things and the whole abandonment of parents. Like, what is parenting in this Gen X paradigm? Mm. Like, what are we doing? And so it's got that great sort of early concern about like what boomer parents will eventually be and all those sorts of fun things. But you get something like Nightmares and it's like, yeah, well, what has it got? We need some knives into bodies. We need some sex. And anyone who has sex is going to basically die. Like any that, or anyone who insults potentially the villain is going to die. And they kind of strip it back to its most kind of crude elements. But it is almost like admirably crude, if I could say that. Like it's just so crude that it's like, wow. Like, isn't it amazing what like that expression was? That like, we're just going to make it this massive, crude, gratuitous thing. And we're also going to take the piss out of a theater critic very specifically that only people at the time are going to even know what we're doing.
Uh-huh.
And it's just, yeah, I kind of like it for its admirable crudeness, if you like.
Absolutely. And I would say another charming thing for me in this film is that I love the setting of like a backstage slasher, you know? This is all set during the production of a play. And I love that backstage setting. I think it just works so well because it's such cramped in spaces and like, you know, all the like technical rigging and all that stuff. I think it's a wonderful setting for a slasher and for Australian cinephiles, absolutely worth watching because it is the debut of one of our greats, Mr. Gary Sweet. And he's got freaking hair.
He's got hair and he's got such a baby face. Like he's such, like the hard jaw of Gary Sweet that was exploited by many a long running, terrible Australian rescue show on television. like absolutely, like he's almost unrecognizable at this time. I knew he was in it. That's about the only thing I knew about it, putting it in. I was like, oh, Gary Sweet, cool. I'm excited to see the first appearance of Gary Sweet. And I was like, is that him? He's a baby. Like
he's a kid.
He's so cute. But also, I think a couple of weeks ago you talked about, we're talking about different phenomena that we love. You know what I love? I love bad plays in movies. I love bad plays. Any time that there is like some kind of backstage intrigue, but also the play looks bad, and at no point does the play look like a success, I love that. And so I think that actually that's one of my favorite elements in Nightmares is that at no point does the play look good. It's actually one of the funny things in the sitcom Friends is like when Joey's doing that terrible play, like one of those terrible plays, and then he eventually like flies off with aliens at the end and you find out just how terrible the play is. It's like the whole time you've been thinking, this play's terrible and it's like really bad and it's of course it's going to get bad reviews. But I think in this movie I'm like, I love that everyone's acting like it's this high art, really sophisticated thing, but it's also really bad. And so it suits the whole storytelling device of like, I love a bad play. The setting is great, but also the badness of the play and that it's not really high art either is great as well.
It rocks, dude. Yeah, this is a real fun one. And I think it's like a great inclusion in this new Blu-ray collection of Ozploitation classics from Umbrella Entertainment. There are some more that I'm really looking forward to in this line coming down the track. There's the double Patrick feature that I am very super keen
excited.
On.
Super excited, especially because the it almost like, it's that whole Gus Van Sant psycho thing going about it. Like there are some identical shots and some new innovation and sometimes the old crummy one seems to exceed the previous, but it's great when you get the pairing. Yeah. There is nothing for a physical media nut that loves like a remake and an original being in the same package to like do that examination.
It's the total reboot deal, baby. We love that shit. And then also, I kind of wish they did that with another one coming down the line, but I believe they've got Turkey Shoot coming out.
Oh.
The Brian Trenchard-Smith classic. I love that movie. It's kind of like a really grubby version of The Hunger Games from the 1980s. And a couple of years ago, I was lucky enough to host some Q&As when Brian Trenchard-Smith was back in town promoting these movies that had just gone through the archives. So this is the new restoration that I would have presented a few years ago, and I'm very excited to watch it again.
I'm excited to watch it, and I'm hoping that in that special episode, we've got some BTS about BTS.
You bet there will be, baby. You bet there will be. I might even have the recording of that session somewhere.
Send it
Chuck
through,
it up
baby.
On the feeds.
We'll
yeah.
get it into the feeds. Guys, thank you for listening to this little morsel of Ozploitation classics from Umbrella with Nightmares, a.k.a. Stage Fright. If you like your schlocky Ozploitation, this is an interesting one to pick up. And as Alexi and I said, we're both big fans of theatre set slashes and bad theatre. And just, if you've ever read The Avocado Plantation, this is one you're going to want to see. And any of the Mark Hartley expanded universe we're all about. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you on another episode very soon. In the meantime, Alexi, where can the folks listening find you?
Well, I would love to give a shout out to a TV show that I'm on the first episode of, Question Everything on the ABC, Will Anderson's new show with Jan Fran about fake news. I'm the panelist on the first episode. Me, my best friend Conchetta Caristo, my favorite comedian Luke Heggie. It's the three of us hanging out, making goofs on the big old screen of your home.
Oh my goodness. And if you're listening to this and you're like, oh my God, when is the first episode? Fear not. Jump onto ABC iView, jump on to the show, Question Everything, and you'll be able to catch up with that episode and more. And there may be more Alexi to come. We don't know.
We don't know. But you will finally find out what I look like. And guess what? I'm gorgeous. And Blake,
spoilers.
What have you got going on?
Spoilers.
And Blake, what have you got going on at the moment?
We have Zodiac Chronicle is in its final downhill slope. So on this very feed itself, you're going to be catching episode 18 very soon. We've got a bunch of Miami Nice episodes that are coming out as well. Anna Swanson was a recent guest. Brandon Strusing and Isaac Felberg, three of the younger crew of emerging really terrific critical voices that are up around in the film Twitterverse that I just love, love, love. Brandon is a huge action movie cinephile. Isaac is just such an insightful guy, has a huge affinity and affection for Michael Mann. So I'm looking forward to you guys hearing those over the next little bit. Usually it's monthly for Vice, but man, we've had some amazing guests start knocking on the door. So we are probably going to have those about once every fortnight to a month, depending on some people wanting to chat to us. So excited for you guys to hear a lot of that.
And I'm excited to be the one that hears it, baby.
Hi, this is Blake Howard, host and producer of One Heat Minute Productions podcast. We dive into the great and underappreciated cinematic works, often 1 minute or one scene at a time. Our crew of guests are some of the most wonderful filmmakers, writers, authors, and critics ever assembled. Our shows include One Heat Minute, Josie and the Podcats, All the President's Minutes, Increment Vice, and right now, Zodiac Chronicle. Check out oneheatminute.com or find us wherever you get your podcasts.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.